All kinds of separation. My wife in Taiwan, a lot of husbands who work out of town and things like that. So temporary and long-term, it's all very tough in our lives, but we're grateful when we're together. So I think it's amazing because communication is such a hard thing. Yesterday, I spent, I waited for like 2 or 3 hours for my iPhone to update, and so then I knew if my wife tried to call me from Taiwan, she couldn't get through because it was all going through all the cycles. And I had to do it twice or three times because it wouldn't take for a couple of times. So then I also remember that I stopped my phone service to save money, so I couldn't find my phone, so I couldn't call my cell phone from my home phone to find out where it's ringing. And then today, Kevin Zhong's mom, Lin Qing, she left the phone in Evan's mom's car, and the battery was dead, so she couldn't. I said, I can call your phone, but it's no use, the battery's dead. So communication is a lot of problem with like not being available because of dead battery or whatever. Then I think of how there's a weird kind of communication between me and Lewis, because every time I choose a topic, he chooses a song that is related to the topic. And all along, I've been speaking on Hebrews, right? But today, I'm not speaking on Hebrews. I'm speaking on prayer again. And of course, he says, I call and you heard me, Lord. And that's about prayer too. So communication breakdown between us and God and between our bad phones and people who are separated by distances. So many different kinds of separation, but God is always there when we call. So I want to go back and talk a bit about how when my house burnt down, the first few verses that came into my mind were because God was communicating to me. So I think a lot of times, when we talk about praying, it's also God talking to us. It's not just us talking to God, right? So when the house burnt down, immediately those verses came and that was God speaking to me. I'm not a good prayer. I don't pray as much as I should. Probably few people pray as much as they should. But Charles Spurgeon or some great speaker one day said that today I have so many things to do in church that I'm going to spend the first 3 hours of my morning praying. And that's totally counterintuitive. When you are busy, we usually pray less, right? Because we've got to go get the work done. But he says, I'm so busy today, I'm going to spend 3 hours to pray. I thought, wow, that's crazy. Then you have even less time to do the work because you're spending so much time praying. But that's true. So praying is not just us talking to God, it's also God talking to us. So I'll share the three verses that came into my mind that made me take it easy when the house burned down. But I also am very grateful to God because I don't think I told you this before. In my family, there were two major house fires. It's weird in one family. My father's house burned down 30 years ago. And then a few years ago, my own house burned down. So then I felt sorry for my parents because my mom said she came home from work and she sat on the sidewalk and just cried because the house was in flames and she couldn't go in. But God was good to me because when my house was burning, I was like 3,000 miles away. There was nothing I could do. So I could only pray and say, God, you just take care of it. Because if I was there, I would be so upset, right? Having to see it burning down, you can't do a thing. So my mom suffered more than I did. But the verses came to mind and I was calm about it. But do we know who we pray to? I think C.S. Lewis says when we pray, is it the real me that's talking to God? Am I talking to the real God up there that is in the Bible, or am I talking to a God that I made up in my own mind? So I want to show you this interesting picture. This is 3 million Muslims praying in Mecca. 3 million from night to morning. They are obligated once in their lifetime. Some super holy Muslims probably do it twice. They go on Hajj, which is like their pilgrimage. And we don't have to do that, right? We don't have to go to Jerusalem, thank goodness, once in our lifetime, but we did go. But these people, they have to go and they have to pray the whole night. But they don't basically know their God because their God is not our God. Although they sometimes claim that Allah is the same, but it's not the same, right? They call Allah also the father of Abraham, the God of Abraham. But 3 million people don't know who they're praying to and a God that will never answer them because it's not a true God. Our God will answer us. I'm sure they, in their own way, also when they have troubles, maybe those who are really devout, verses from the Quran come into their mind, they get comforted. I don't know. But the Quran tells them to do some pretty weird things, we found out too. So do we know who we are praying to? And is it really us talking or is it some kind of facsimile, something we try to present to God? But he knows it's not us, you know. So here are the verses before I go into the prayer part. First, when I heard the house burned down, I thought, God is never, I'm sorry, I put the Chinese there because I thought the Chinese people, well, Chinese. I thought the Chinese-speaking people are going to stay with us today. So as a favor, because I wasn't going to translate for myself and twist my tongue up. So I put the Chinese verses, but just ignore them. Or actually, it's a good way to learn Chinese. That's how I learn. Okay, so God does not sleep. So when I heard that the house burned down, I thought, God is not sleeping. He didn't say, oh, sorry, Mike, you know, I was taking a nap. I was shopping, so I let your house burn down. I'm not worried that God didn't know. He did know. This verse really came to mind. And what's really strange? 121. The next verse that came to mind in this order, immediately after the house burned down, was 121. But in Job, 121. Naked I came, naked I go. So I told myself, you know, I didn't own anything when I came. I can't take anything with me when I go. So don't worry about it. I mean, there's nothing I can do to worry. When God takes something away, sometimes he has something better in his mind for me than I think. You know, in my mind, something he wants to give me may not be better. But in God's mind, it is better. Well, in my mind today, it's better too. Why? Because before the house burned down, it was 30-year-old house. Old, dirty, leaking windows. You're trying to heat up to like 90 degrees. It's still freezing in there because all the heat is going up. Now I get a brand new house, right? Now it's 3 years old instead of 30 years old. So I didn't bring anything with me. I can't take anything with me. But whenever God withholds something from us, even that we ask for, it's not because he says, you know, I think I'm going to give you a Windows phone. I won't give you iPhone. I don't know if Windows phone is worse than iPhone. That'll probably offend some Microsoft people. But I won't give you the phone you want. I'll give you the phone you don't want. God is not like that. I think when God withholds something, he says, I got something better for you, but you got to wait. So, and I did wait. I waited 2 years for that dumb house to get built. So then the third verse that came to my mind was what Job said. Also, there's a 2 and a 1 in there. It's weird. Maybe it was the ones and twos that God was talking to me that day. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So do we only thank God for the good things, and when he allows trials to come into our lives, then we complain and say, God, you're not good. I call and you did not answer. No, the song says, I call and you answered. So to me, this verse makes sense, especially on the bottom. The bottom says, Job did not sin with his lips. So I'm not suggesting that when we pray, we can sin with our lips. Basically, I think you can say anything you want to God as long as it's respectful. You can ask why, you can ask why not, and how come, and whatever you can ask. As long as it's said with respect, because God is looking at our hearts. When we pray, there's nothing that would be wrong per se that you can't say to God, you know, unless you say, you know, I don't believe you, I don't believe in Jesus, that's big trouble. But basically, we do not sin with our lips, no matter how we pray. And Job did not sin with his lips when the terrible things happened to him. You know, I want to take a break and also say something that might embarrass the young lady, but I appreciate that Grace is here. She's the youngest one in this group. And I know it's hard for her, but I appreciate everyone who's here because we don't have that many people. We are precious. And it doesn't matter how many we have. But I know it's hard when you don't have people your same age. But so I appreciate everyone. I appreciate those who can't come, that they will come again. So, Grace, I'm happy you're here. So we cannot offend God no matter what we say. No matter what we say, as long as it's from our heart, as long as it's the real Mike that's talking to God. It's the real God that Mike is talking to. If you don't know that God is good, then you're probably talking to someone that you're kind of fearful of. You would be fearful. I would be fearful. Prayer is my only salvation. When I cannot stop doing something bad, when I cannot stop losing my temper, when I am thinking things I shouldn't be thinking, or whatever it is, prayer is the only thing. Prayer is the only thing that has ever changed me one bit. Even before I became a Christian, prayer changed me because I said, God, I can't take this life anymore. I've thrown away so much cocaine. I've spent so much money trying to quit, and I can't quit. Every time I think, God, I'm going to show you. I'm serious about this. You know, I'm going to flush all this $500 worth of drugs into the toilet. Then 2 days later, I buy some more. You know, all this kind of stuff is just craziness. But when I prayed, God finally said, okay, I think now you're really serious. Now I'm really going to help you. So then God freed me from the drug addiction. So prayer is really, really the thing I want to talk about. Take a break from Hebrews. And I'm just amazed that you chose that song. I called and you answered. And God really does answer. So, first verse. from chapter 25. I'm going to cover these 15 verses that I've covered before, but I want to repeat again, this is not like the Lord's Prayer. This is not like a model prayer you have to follow, but these are things in David's prayer that we need to remember. First thing we remember is David prayed because people are after him. He was in a crisis. And I think it's better to pray when you're in a crisis than when you're in a crisis and say, I don't even want to pray because I've been in crisis so many times I've prayed it never changed anything. That's even worse. A better way would be when there's crisis, you pray. But an even better way, like Lewis also stole from my message just now, he says, we worship him no matter whether we're happy or sad. So I think I've been doing counseling many years. People only come to counseling when they want to tell you sad news. I've never heard of someone say, Mike, I got to see you today immediately because I've got good news. When they got good news, they don't want to tell me. They tell other people. When they got bad news, they go, okay, I want to talk. So it's the same with God, right? It's the same with God. It is okay to go when you have bad news. It's even better to go when you don't have bad news. How many times do we actually think we pray fervently because we're so happy, God, I just have to thank you? Very infrequently. More of the time, it's when we have a crisis. So it's okay to go to God when you have a crisis, but it's even better to be used to going to God even when you don't have a crisis. But if you have a crisis and you don't go, then you're really in trouble. So he went because of crisis. But the next thing I want to show you is he said, show me your ways. How many times when we pray do we actually ask God, what am I doing wrong? Show me. And then lead me. And then teach me. Two times he says teach. So who is David praying as? As a true disciple. We're not praying as someone just desperate for help. To be a disciple and pray and say, show me, teach me, guide me. I want to tell you that long time ago when I first became a Christian, I read this verse that says, search my heart, O God. And I thought, wow, David is a very good man. He's saying, look, search my heart. I got nothing to hide. You can see I'm good, right? But I misunderstood that verse. Basically, David is saying, search my heart and show me how bad I am. Show me. Show me. So I don't pray this to God. I don't say, God, show me how bad I am. I need to change because I'm afraid he's really going to show me. I won't be able to stand up. But I should pray. Show me, you know. I got so many bad things in me. Show me so I can be a better brother, a better son, a better preacher, a better husband, whatever. Just show me. Just teach me. So as today's message is short because we have communion and because also long is quality and quantity not always the same, right? So short because I think I just want us to know when we pray in crisis, also say, show me what's going on in my life. In other words, Kevin, who just lost his wife, Mina, I see him pretty often. Why? Because he makes this incredible coffee. Let me tell you about his coffee. He makes ice drip coffee. Ice drip coffee doesn't go through heat process. When coffee is dripped cold in the refrigerator for like 10 hours to get one little jar like that, it is almost 70% pure without any impurities. When you drink a little bit like this, I didn't know. I drank a whole cup. I was shaking the whole day. It was so strong. But ice drip coffee. So he says, you want to drink coffee? Come to my house. It's better than Starbucks. So I go spend time with him, and he told me that after his wife's death, he felt like God put some needles under his neck so that he is not able to look down on earth anymore. He must keep looking up. He's asking God, show me. Show me and teach me how to live without my wife. Because he's retired early, he spent so much time. Oh, and speaking of temporary separation, I think Maiten is still not home. So we've got many people separated. You know, how do we communicate? But God is never separated from us. That's the most important one. So many of us are not with our loved ones, and most sorry for Kevin, who is, for now, until heaven, separated from his dear wife. So I go, I see him. I spend time, I drink coffee with him. I say, let's watch a sad movie together because I'll make you feel better. He says, no, thank you. I don't want to watch a sad movie. But I'm crazy. I think when you are sad, you watch a sad movie, you feel better because, oh, that person is even sadder life than I do. But it doesn't work for everyone like that. So I said, no, thanks, Mike. I don't want to watch any sad movie with you. So show me, lead me, teach me. That's the first thing. If you have a crisis, do you ever pray like David did? David ran to God because of crisis. David is called a man after God's heart because he's willing to learn. Okay. Yesterday, when I shared in Cliff's memorial service, I also used David. Because David's sin was so great with Bathsheba that God actually mentioned it in 1 Kings. He says, David is a man after my own heart. He never departed from God's way, except when he sinned with Bathsheba, the wife of the Hittite, Uriah. It was a very big sin in God's eyes. But God still used him. Why? Because his heart was good. His heart was to show me, Lord. Search my heart so I know how bad I am. Instead of like the Mike version, which is search my heart. I'm not afraid. I got nothing to hide. That's not the meaning of the verse. To search my heart because I'm so evil I don't even know it. And so I think the greatest honor that David, that God gave him, I think in my mind, is to call Jesus the Son of David. If he's that bad, Jesus would not be called the Son of David. His heart was so good to God that God called Jesus Christ the Son of David. So I'm suggesting this is not the Lord's Prayer, but a true prayer in crisis is still, show me what's wrong with me, God. Teach me, lead me. I don't want to follow my own way. I always want to follow my own way, but teach me to follow your way. That's basically it. Teach two times. And then also see, wait. When we pray, we don't say, God, I'll wait for you. Says, God, please don't make me wait, you know. Please do Amazon Prime, right? Two-day delivery. That's much better, right? Amazon even has same-day delivery now. So behind every sin, there is a lie that we believe. What do I mean? Everything that we do wrong is because we believe in some lie the devil has told us. If you get this, you'll be happy. If you do that, you'll be happy. If you use drugs, you'll be numb. You forget your troubles. But you don't know how deep a hole you can sink into. So I'm saying that we can be our own worst enemy. Sometimes I think my enemies are all around me, the exterior. Actually, I could be my own worst enemy because I believe in a lie. And that's why you need God to teach you to discern what is true and what is not true. This is what I hope that in the short message today, you will realize that a true prayer to save you is not only to protect you from outside enemies, but from inside. I could be my own worst enemy because I tell myself a lie. One famous lie that I told myself that kept me stuck in drugs for many, many years. You want to guess what it is? It's a very strange lie, but you can understand if I tell you. When I try to quit drugs, I will just be tough, right? I say, okay, today, drink coffee. Drink beer. Don't smoke dope. Don't snort cocaine. So I'll do that for like 1 week, 2 weeks. And then you know what happens? This is what psychologists call stinking thinking. It's sick thinking that keeps you going back. Like the Bible says, a dog goes back to his own vomit. I was like a dog that went back to my own vomit. Why? After 2 weeks of not touching drugs, I go, I'm so good now, I deserve a present. What present do I deserve? Go to the cellar, buy another batch of drugs. That's what kept me doing the thing over and over again. I didn't ask God to show me what's wrong with me. I reward myself for staying clean by doing more dirty stuff. I'm serious. This is time and again. I would do it for 2 weeks, 2 months. One time I even stopped for a whole year. Then I thought, I'm so good. Now I can do a little bit every day. Not just like go the whole weekend and nonstop. Just a little bit every day. The moment I did one drop, it was all over. Every time you stop, you go back, you go deeper. That's what I found for me. I don't know about you. Every time you stop doing something, you think you're good, you go back, it is harder to come out. So that happened to me over and over again. That's why I believe so strongly. I believe, I want to tell you from my heart, if you don't ask God to show you, if God didn't show me that I'm messed up, I'm my own worst enemy because I'm lying to myself. I'm saying, now I'm strong. Now I can do like my friends, because I have some people that just, like these party people, they do it once in a while, they're okay. But me, I can't stop the moment I do it. Every time I touch it, I go deeper until I can't come out. So it's true. It is very dangerous to sin over and over again, just like it is dangerous to skip church. That's such a good example too. You skip 1 week, you feel a little bit guilty. You skip 2 weeks, a little bit more guilty. You skip 3 weeks, no more feeling. It's okay. I'm used to it now. It's so great to be at home. Drink coffee, watch TV on Sunday. What's better than that? So search my heart is really a true thing. In 139, David says, search my heart. And then you are your own worst enemy because at the end of today's passage, although Psalm goes all the way to the 20s, but I stop at 15 because 15 says, God will pick my feet out of the snare. Another translation says out of the web, out of the trap. What is a web? What is a snare? Lies are usually described as a web, like a wang, because you get caught in it. You get stuck in the lie. So that's why I say, I'm serious when I say, you could be your own worst enemy because you're believing a lie that you tell yourself. You think about your life. I think about my life.